Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families wherever you are, whatever family life stage you're in. Thank you so much for being here. We just appreciate your listenership so, so much because it gives us hope that there are people who want to find hope and especially hope in the good news of Jesus. And that is what we are here to do today. We have a great return guest and a new guest for you today. Today we've got Jason Palmer and Tiffany Horton. Now you may remember Jason from before. He is from the University of Mary Hardin Baylor. He is the Dean of Spiritual Life and University Chaplain. He's an ordained Baptist minister, a retired Army chaplain, a senior resident at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. He is majoring in Christian leadership, and don't we need Christian leaders in today's day and age? And he is also the chaplain for his county sheriff's office. He has been married to his college sweetheart, Christy, for 23 years. And he is also a dad of four. I'm a mom of four, but Jason, I feel like I have to give you more street cred because you have all boys. And
boys are just such a gift.
They are such a gift. They are such a gift, but it requires a little more courage, I think, and a little more tolerance for mess and noise. And I love it. I love, love, love my boys. But he is joined today. We've got Tiffany Horton joining him. Now, she joined University of Mary Hardin Baylor Student Life staff in 2011 as the Director of Student Organizations, and then she shifted into the role of Director of Global Outreach just before COVID in 2019. I feel like anytime we say that, it should be followed by a dun-dun-dun sound effect, you know, because we know the world changed so much then. But she oversees global outreach teams. She serves as advisor for Missions Emphasis Week and the Psalms Women's Conference. She is an alumna of Azusa. That's so hard to say, Tiffany. Azusa, Pacific University. And you and your husband live with your daughter and your son. Thank you so much to both of you for joining us today. We're so glad to have you here.
Thank you.
We're glad totally to be honored. Here.
Well, Tiffany, let's start with you. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, about your life, and how God called you into this college ministry role?
Yes, thank you so much. If you would have told my college self or even my 10-year-old self, I would not even dream of being in the job that I am and where he has me. And I think that's a true testament to him and his character of that he knows why he created us and for the purpose he did. But so how I got here, I graduated from Azusa Pacific University, and I knew there that I wanted to work with college students. And so when I got the job at UMHB, I came, and UMHB at the time had a huge heart for missions. There's a huge history. It goes all the way back from their founding fathers, but there wasn't necessarily a program that was for sending students collectively as a team. And that is something that was so big in my undergrad. And so even though I got hired to do student activities, something that just stirred inside of me was, how do we send students on missions? How do we do that? It's something that I got to do in my undergrad and was so life-changing for me. I feel like the gospel came alive when I got to do that, and I learned so much. And so I knew it was a treasure that I wanted our students here at UMHB to be able to experience. And so I feel like the Lord just put that on my heart. He began to stir something back in 2011. And he gave me the opportunity to take a group of students to India. And year after year, I just started with one step. I started with one team, and I told myself, I'll just try just this once. But I feel then students would tell their friends or they would tell their families, and people would come in and say, oh, I want to go too. And they would hear about it. And so after about, I would say, 5 years, then they asked me if I wanted to then become the director of global outreach and kind of grow this program from the ground up, which was such a dream. I felt so humbled by that. I remember a mentor at the time saying, just reminded me about Esther in the Bible, who was called to be queen. And this person just looked at me like, even though you might feel unworthy, like if God calls you to be queen, don't be anything less. And I just remember taking that on of someone who I thought, someone to be the global outreach should have lived overseas, or they should have done missions at least 50 times. But for myself, God had given me this passion and this heart for college students, but also to share the gospel around the world. So I took that kind of, if God calls you to be something, don't be anything less. So I'm like, I feel called to be the director of global outreach. And so in that, it was just exciting. But then, yes, you said COVID happened. And so it was something that from there, I think it was also kind of a time for me to just slow down a little bit and really think about, where is God calling UMHB for missions? What does he want in these college students? All the questions about where does he want us to go? So it was a blessing in a time that was so hard to be able to slow down and redefine this program and then to build upon it. And now here we are in 2024, where the world's opening up again, and we're able to send about 14, 15 teams annually. So it went from non-existent program to where we're at today with about 15 teams, and only God can make that happen. So just humbled to be in this position and excited to be here.
Well, I think that's really encouraging, and I want our listeners to hear the stories and to know the people behind the scenes who are serving college students, who are just such a group of people who are in such need of hope, of assurance, because they get so much messaging that this world is a terrible place to live. It's going you know where and a you know what. I mean, and they're thinking, why am I even alive? And just to have some of these words of hope and to elevate their perspective, to look at other people, I want to dive into that. But before we do, Jason, there may be people who missed you on the show before. Would you just tell them a little bit about your background and how you came to know the Lord and serve college students as well?
Yeah, thanks for that opportunity. My parents and local church gave me awareness of God's love for me when I was a young boy, and I accepted Christ when I was 7 years old, but had the chance to learn through the ministries and leadership of people in my local church about what that really looked like over my teenage and early adult years as I grew in my faith and also experienced new challenges and struggles like I'm sure many of our listeners have had. I joined the military out of high school. Even though my mom thought that I was going to go immediately to college, I felt an urge to go and serve in the military and did so for 3 years. And about halfway through my initial 6-year period of enlistment, I was given the opportunity to go to a college near my home, a large state school, where I went and did ROTC and pursued a commission as an officer in the Navy and drove submarines for a while. And it was out of that season of submarine service that God reiterated a call that he had placed in my life since I was 13. At least I can discern it back to 13, where he wanted me to serve his people in a full-time way. So not knowing what that would exactly look like, I stepped into seminary courses and began to take those while I was still on the submarine. I'll never forget, mailing my homework off when a tugboat would meet us out in the middle of the Atlantic and getting my professor to grade it and mail it back on the next tugboat. And it was a little bit of a non-traditional educational experience for a while. But ultimately, through the completion of that graduate work at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, God prepared me to be able to serve as an Army chaplain for the latter half of my military career. And for 13 years, I had the privilege of serving soldiers on some of their best and hardest days in service here domestically and also overseas in Iraq, Afghanistan, Kuwait, Qatar, Korea, and other places. And what a joy it was. And then one day I was riding on an airplane and looked over to my left, and there was a man and his wife there watching a basketball game as we taxied out. And I would later find that he was president of Mary Hardin Baylor, passionate about the work that Christian higher education was doing to raise up leaders for the future church. And we just had a wonderful conversation, not one that anticipated employment or the need of employment. And a couple of years later, God had done something that only he could have done to give me a heart for this group of people. And what a privilege it has been to serve here for starting my 6th year. Two of my four sons are students here right now, and my oldest one is engaged to a young lady who's a student here, so we're very much committed to the mission of Mary Hardin Baylor and thankful for its impact on raising up students both in our family and outside.
I just love all of those "but God" moments in there, how God orchestrated such unlikely stories. I mean, calling someone who, you know, by your own admission, Tiffany, you don't have global experience, but God calls you to global missions. And now you're sitting here with Jason, who has global experience, but came from the army and a basketball game on a plane. Like, I love how God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I think that's just such a great illustration of that. And Tiffany, before I jump into missions, Jason, let me ask you this, because I do, like I told Tiffany, I see a lot of negativity towards young people, especially college age. We see a lot of negative things that are happening. And you know, it is really hard, I think, for to put yourself in their shoes. But you see a lot of good things. You see God working in such great ways. So I think it's always important to share that. How do you see God working among college students where you are?
Well, I see that when young adults get a vision of what their life could be when they're really living, not just merely alive, but really living. And that's something that only God can give us. He can give us life as it was fully meant to be experienced. When they get a vision for what that could be, the whole idea of a relationship with the Lord and of our individual participation in society ceases to be a list of things that we're prohibited from doing, and it begins to be a wide open door of things to which he is calling us that are so much better than the things we leave behind. And I think the narrative has to be changed from God is not a God of 1,000 no's. He's a God of many, many yeses, and those yeses are so great. And when placed in comparison to the things that he asks us to leave behind, we become enthralled by the idea that walking into those things to which he's called us is such a journey that I want to be on. And I see that regularly among our students. And candidly, you know, in Christian higher education, we have many students that come to us that know fully their relationship with the Lord and are settled in their Christian identity. But we also welcome many to this campus who have never yet encountered Christ in a transformative way. And to all those students, we say there's great hope found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And when they get the glimpse, that vision of who he is and what he's done, we believe that that's transformative for students. So yes, the stories are too long to and number to mention here, but I just simply say it's our joy to walk among those students who are having those, from the lunch I had on this very day 2 hours ago, from you know, and many other situations that I can immediately jump to in my mind. I just say that God is alive, he is at work, and he is not done transforming the hearts of young adults into the leaders that he needs now and in the future.
Well, amen. We can go home on that, Jason. I mean, that is such a good word right there. Amen, amen, and amen. And we're coming up on a break here, but we haven't even gotten into our topic, which we're really going to dive into, this concept of missions on college campuses. And I'm really interested to hear what you have to say, because I know that you're hosting a missions emphasis event for college students, and many Christian colleges do have missions emphasis, whether that is local missions, working in the community where the college is, or working within the college community to minister to their fellow students, or, you know, on campus, or whether that's global missions. And when we look at Gen Z and Gen Alpha, who's coming up behind them, we know that they are so much more globally focused than we were. I mean, when we were growing up, we really, all we knew about other countries, we learned from the Encyclopedia Britannica or maybe our grandparents' National Geographic magazine. I mean, we did not have the internet, and most people weren't traveling like that. But now we do see kids being connected through social media. So I really want to know, when we come back, how you're seeing kids engage in missions and how we can pray for them. Listen, we've got a lot more coming up with Jason Palmer and Tiffany Horton talking about missions for college students. And maybe you know a college student who should be involved in missions. We'll have more insight for you coming up after this break. Don't go away. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
See my hands and look at my feet. It's okay if it's hard to believe. I have faith that you will do greater things. It's my time to go, but before I leave, go tell
Welcome back, friends. That song is The Commission by Cain and reminds us of our commission from Jesus to go into all parts of the world and to share the good news of the hope of Jesus Christ. And I will tell you, working with young people all day, every day, they are searching. They are searching for answers, for absolute truth. They're searching for hope. They're searching for a meaning greater than what they feel like they can have on their own. And we are talking today about that very thing with Jason Palmer and Tiffany Horton. Jason is the chaplain at University of Mary Hardin Baylor, and Tiffany is the director of global outreach. And we are talking about the exposure to missions in developing young adults who are prepared to go out into the world, to be excellent leaders, to serve, to have faith-informed discernment in a global society where the world is getting smaller, it seems like, every day. So Tiffany, I would love for you just to talk about why is this important and how are you working to expose students to missions?
Oh, what a wonderful question. And I think you hit the question of this day and age for our students of why do we go? I can tell you as a student, when I was a student, I had the opportunity, and it's something my friend just drugged me to. She said, we have to go, we have to sign up. And so when we went, what I realized is I went to a culture that spoke a different language than I did. I went to a place where they had never heard the name of Jesus. And for the first time, I had to own my faith. I grew up in a Christian home, but I had to now say what I believed. And so what I realized for the first time on that mission experience was that when you are placed in an environment that is unfamiliar to you, you grow. There's no way around it. You are having to own things. You're having to try new places. You're having to eat new foods. And so all the things that you're learning, that your parents are teaching you to just even be kind to other people, all of the morals just come up to one moment and through missions. And so when the Great Commission, when Jesus is telling his disciples to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, that comes true, and the biggest opportunity I see is within college students. I think there's no other time in life when you have that undistracted time. that you are able to give up a whole summer. You're able to go some, have a year after they graduate that they go. And so I just want to talk about the why is because you learn and are able to own your faith more than any other experience. And how we're doing that here at UMHB is through being able to have student-led experiences. Our missions emphasis week that we have going on right now, we have 3 student directors, and then under them we have 15 students that serve on this committee that are planning from the events to the emails to coordinate missionaries to come on campus, to be able to have those conversations, as well as they're the ones that are buying the food and preparing just this experience for people to come and learn about God and mission opportunities. So through that, the leadership opportunity, they're able to really learn how they get people to be discipled as well as disciple others. But I think we miss out on opportunities if we don't allow our students to be able to learn, to be able to speak in front of people. We might do that all the time, but if we don't give them the opportunity to do things, when will they learn? So I think the exposure is crucial as early as you can, but since I work at college, especially at college, to be able to give them the opportunity.
You know, I think when kids are coming into college, you know, they're growing up in a world that is so customized to them. You can order anything that you want exactly like you want it. I mean, this is my, you know, my husband's nightmare that I'm going to ask him to order coffee for me, because he'll say, you just say it or put it on the app. You can get it exactly like you want. And then we look at social media. It's like me, follow me, watch me.
Yeah.
And it's all, there's such a me perspective in today's world. And so what does this exposure to missions, how does exposing them to needs from other parts of the world, many of which are not blessed with the resources, with the opportunities that we may have here in the United States of America, how does that impact kids when they're coming in for their college experience and thinking, you know, about their own college experience, but how does lifting their eyes to mission opportunities shift that perspective?
Absolutely. A wonderful question. I think what Jason was talking about earlier, when they catch a vision for the what they can be and what God has called on their life, I think the Bible comes into action. When you hear about the disciples, if they dropped everything to follow God, what I've seen with students is the bigger God becomes to them, the more this desire to go and make disciples, because they realize just the urgency of that. One example is I saw a student who, his first time going on a mission trip, he got to go serve a homeless population. And so he came off one of the trains and he saw that someone didn't have any shoes. And so his heart just broke for this individual and he took off his shoes. He gave the shoes to this individual. And I think he saw for the first time of when God calls us to even clothe the homeless, it's because we have some, you know, some of us have clothes to give, some of us have time to give or finances to give, but being able to give out of what you have. And so you see these students just transform because they see the need. And they get to realize they can participate to help the need.
And Jason, you said you have gone, you've been all over the world. You've traveled everywhere. You've had military experience. You work with law enforcement. You see, I'm sure you've seen a lot of really hard things. And then coming to, you know, Mary Hardin Baylor, to a completely different environment, how does that perspective help you lead and guide students who are just starting out and maybe don't have that perspective? And just like, you know, we were just hearing Tiffany describe about, you know, seeing somebody without their shoes. How does that influence the way that you minister in your position?
Yeah, it gives me a perspective that need is common across the world. It's expressed differently. It has different cultural flavors, but the desperate need of each person in every part of the world is common before the cross. And we have the chance to be able to take our part in that and to shoulder our share of the responsibility of sharing about the love of Jesus with them. I'm struck by Peter's experience in Acts chapter 10, when he began to realize coming out of Acts 9 into Acts 10 as he engages Cornelius, that really the gospel is going global, that it's no longer just for a group of people that I'm very comfortable with, as Peter was, with his own community, but now the gospel is going beyond lines that previously separated us's and them's. And, you know, before the gospel, we are all equally in need of that. So I think that the perspective of having seen some parts of the world, some that are very contemporary and built up and flourishing technologically, and other parts that are just desperately needy, it causes me to want to live sent. It causes me to want to live in an expeditionary mindset where there's no place to which I would be unwilling to go if God called me, no mission that he would give me that I would be unwilling to give my very best effort at, because his pursuit of me drives me to want to pursue those of the world that have not yet encountered his love. I think that this is done in a way at many Christian institutions like ours, where we see the value of this being a catalyzing event. While they are at the university, they experience these short-term opportunities. For many of them, their first time ever leaving the country. For some of them, their first time ever getting on an airplane. And we see them travel to these places and experience these things. And then when they leave our doors, they are plugged in local churches across the United States, and for our international students, many of them across the world. And they begin to have an appetite for seeing the gospel sent out around the world. Some of them participate with mission sending agencies that are either denominationally driven or other parachurch mission sending organizations. Some do short-term missions through their church. And that's a great win for Christian higher ed when we see our students plugged in for the long term with their local church and making that multi-generational community of Christ Bride, the church, the place where they express missions locally, regionally, and internationally.
You know, I think that's a beautiful thing, and you used the term catalyzing event, which intrigues me, because when we think about Christian colleges, we think, okay, these are places where faith is emphasized, where you are living out your faith, where faith is integrated into every part of the learning, academic, you know, university experience. Yet you are still having a separate missions emphasis event, which almost seems like it would be redundant, right? Like, isn't this what we do every day? Why the special emphasis? What do you hope to accomplish? And why do you have that catalyzing event, to use your words, Jason? And Tiffany, you can tell us about that.
Yeah, I would just say that you're right. From the sweet lady, Miss Vicky, who runs the cash register at the front of our residential dining hall, to the president of our institution, there's not a faculty or staff member that works here, and this is the story for many Christian institutions of higher education, who would be unready to turn a conversation to the matchless love of Christ and how he has transformed their life. So you're right. There is an integration of faith here that seems pretty ubiquitous. It's in every classroom. It's in every co-curricular activity. But yet there is this need for a purposeful engagement of the world through short-term missions. And these differ from our study abroad programs that are sending students for even longer periods of time around the world for very meaningful experiences academically and in terms of cultural preparation, so that these students can be cross-cultural ambassadors in many different contexts for the rest of their lives. But these 1 to 2 to 3 week encounters that we're sending students on through global outreach give them the chance to go to these places and in an undistracted way partner with the local church in those places or with missionaries that are already embedded in a long-term career sense in those locations and get the chance to get a global perspective. you quoted earlier, Jessica, the mission statement of Mary Hardin Baylor to prepare mm-hmm. students for leadership, service, and faith-informed discernment in a global society. And when you add those last four words of in a global society, now we've expanded the scope of leadership, service, and faith-informed discernment to the widest range possible. And we think that through short-term missions, because of the singular focus of the types of activities that students do on that trip, those types of trips, that it is unique in the spectrum of experiences that they'll have in Christian higher ed.
I completely agree. Having been on global missions myself, you know, it is a life-changing experience. It really is, to see God is so much bigger than you think he is. He can do so much more than you think that he can do. Just shifting your perspective, making you rely on him. You know, there's so many comforts that we have in our own home, but going and serving is so important. Well, what do you think about all of that, Tiffany?
Yeah, I would say we talked about this generation, and I want to speak to it a little bit of, I think there's this fear of doing something wrong. And so I think being able to just put missions in a nutshell of, hey, let's just tell you your next steps, not necessarily tell you, but be able to show you there's no wrong way to go about this, but putting it in a week, if you're interested in knowing more about missions, here's a way to do it, and here's a way how you can be successful. And I think that speaks to this generation when they're paralyzed for choice. We're bringing these choices to campus, and we're giving them like a, you know, 3 to 5 step process. So it's not overwhelming, especially for those, this is their first exposure. It's very easy to see, whereas in the past, I think when we were growing up, it was, here's 100 options and have fun with it. And now, I think here's about 10 options and here's how you go about it. I think that's why.
You know, it's interesting that you use that phrase, paralyzed by choice, because that is something that this generation is facing. When we were growing up, mm-hmm. you know, there just weren't many options that were available like that. And then we had a shift in parenting where, you know, we'd say, okay, which one do you want? Instead of wear the red one. That's it. You know, you have no
right.
choice. I am
yeah.
the parent. This is where it is. But
yeah.
now we see yeah. that manifesting itself even in a phenomenon called order anxiety, where they feel like they can't mm-hmm. go up to the counter and order. And what do I do? But what confidence, what life skills a trip like this can teach them. Well, when we come back, I want to talk some more about this and how it helps them to be leaders. And let's talk about some of the fears that some students and their parents may have about sending their child on a global mission trip when the world seems like it's frankly on fire at times. So let's have a talk about that when we come back right after this break. More with Jason Palmer and Tiffany Horton, chaplain and director of global outreach at University of Mary Hardin Baylor. We're talking about great things going on college campuses. We all need to hear it. I'll see you on the other side of this break.
My father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Instead, and the roses bloom, but they're not quite red. When I reach the edge of my bravery, I'll still be singing at the banks of
of an imparted sea. Sometimes the only way through it is a hallelujah.
Welcome back, friends. That is The Thing About Praise. That's The Thing About Praise by Benjamin William Hastings. And sometimes we do feel like the only way through it is a hallelujah and a prayer. And in a world where we are just dominated by negative headlines, doom and gloom, especially about young generations of people, people who are college age, who are career age, who are just starting their adult life into the world, we see a lot of things that are discouraging, a lot of things that are negative. But you know what? There are a lot of great things going on as well. There are, as we're talking with Jason Palmer today and Tiffany Horton. We're talking with the chaplain and the director of global outreach at University of Mary Hardin Baylor Christian University. And we've been talking about their mission to prepare young adults for leadership, service, and faith-informed discernment in a global society. And I think it's really important for us to think about the things that are good, that are noble, that are praiseworthy. And there are kids who are on college campuses seeking mission opportunities to serve people in their community and around the world. And before the break, Tiffany, we were talking about how this really prepares them for a leadership role, and that is part of your mission to do that. How does stepping out in missions really help cultivate leaders when we need kids who have that kind of confidence to step out and lead?
Yeah, no, great question. We had a student that came to Nepal with me this year, and I remember his biggest prayer was for confidence. And I think we learn confidence through opportunities to try confidence. And he went from being timid to, by the end, he was saying, okay, team, I think we should pray here. I think the next thing is we're going to do this and go here. And what was beautiful to see was just someone who went, again, from being timid to owning the steps. And I see that with leadership through opportunities that we are able to learn how we lead. And more importantly, when you're doing God's work, you get to see that you're not doing that alone, and that God promises in the Bible that He is with us always and that He'll never leave us. And so what I think was beautiful with college students, and they have the opportunity to lead on mission, they get to learn how to discern God's voice, how to discern His call, and then also how to lead with Him as they're learning from Him. So I think that's important in how they get to learn leadership while being on mission.
You know, go ahead, Jason, go ahead. Jump right in.
I was just going to say, I was going to add to that Tiffany's done a great job also of designating a student leader for every one of our domestic and international teams, where from the very beginning placement of selected students onto the team from a pool of applicants to the training, preparation, coordination with global partners, the travel coordination to get over to the location, and then all the execution of the mission while there and the return travel home, falls largely to the growth of a budding leader in a role of team leadership underneath a faculty or staff, a team mentor that's designated for the team. So that additional practical experience of leading a team of hand-picked peers is something that it can be really rewarding. It can also create some wonderful points of friction and frustration that every leader faces in any leadership endeavor worth going on. And the chance for them to get to go and do that in a rather controlled environment is formative for them as they're going to be leading from their living rooms to boardrooms in the rest of their life. We just want them to have an additional repetition at leadership in that. And Tiffany's done a great job at that.
Well, that is so true. And when we see, you know, kids going to other parts of the world, yeah, it does grow you. I think Tiffany said that earlier. It does make you grow, and it can be painful. It can be difficult. And in that way, you know, honestly, Jason, what I see sometimes is students who are maybe afraid to step out, think, I don't know if I want to go there. Or parents who have a lot of well-justified fears, thinking there is a lot of global unrest. I mean, just thinking every time we open the news, there are groups or regions at conflict, there are bombs, there are, you know, just all kinds of dangers. And so how do you balance that? And what would you say to parents or students who are maybe just feeling like, I'm not sure that I feel safe to do that?
Yeah, I appreciate the concern. It's one that I share every time that I put my sons on a flight and send them off to some part of the world. And I think the answer is good comprehensive risk management. And every institution of higher education within a Christian worldview that's executing global outreach or short-term mission trips and doing it at a high level are making sure that the totality of risk management is being considered so that we can look at parents in the eye and be able to say that every prudent risk that needed to be considered prior to the launching of this team or the cancellation of the trip was considered before we took this endeavor and took the risk of taking the most precious thing you have, your sons and daughters, and putting them on a plane and sending them out with the university's reputation in tow and sent them out to do this work on behalf of the Lord. So how do we do that? I imagine that like us, many institutions borrow heavily from what the U.S. State Department considers as the travel advisories for these various different regions, and they scale those concerns into four tiers. The highest one is do not travel, and the lowest one is exercise normal precautions. And so, you know, Mary Hardin Baylor has a great philosophical posture with regard to how much risk we're willing to take in order to send people out, because we are higher ed. We're not a mission sending organization, as if that's our primary focus. So we want to make sure that we leave some of those higher order, more risky engagements to our colleagues in the large C, you know, capital C church that are out engaging in those hardest to reach areas, sometimes with the greatest amounts of risk. But with a modest amount of risk, we are also willing to accept those opportunities to be able to go out and engage the unreached with the gospel. But we don't only borrow on the expertise that state and local and federal government can provide. We also depend on having reputable global partners in all these areas that are saturated in the culture, that know the trends that are going on, that know more than the one-liners on a simple web search about what's going on in that area, and they can provide real atmospherics that help Tiffany and the rest of the leadership team that weigh into each of these decisions on whether or not we're going to establish a team to go to a place and whether we're going to keep that team on track to launch, or whether in the worst of cases we had to retract a team and bring them back to the United States prior to the scheduled end of their trip, which we've never had to do, but we're always ready to action these things. So reputable global partners is a huge part of it. We send team mentors, staff, or faculty on every one of these trips to make sure that they have full-time employees that are there and have been trained to be ready to not only answer things because they're equipped to do that in the moment, but they have a huge network of resources back at the institution here in our case in Texas, where they can leverage all the medical insurance, public relations, financial, and other types of support that they might need to have to be able to work through any crises that develop while the team is deployed. And I don't want to overstate this because I don't think I can. I think we have to, as leaders, as Christian leaders that are planning and executing these teams, we have to trust that the Holy Spirit's guidance in this is going to be sufficient for us to be able to shepherd the assets of these sons and daughters of God's kingdom in a way that is fruitful and the right use of their preciousness for the glory of the Lord. And so we commit these things to regular prayer and ask that God would guide us, even if it's in a way that differs from the suggestions of other entities and authorities that are outside the university. We're going to seek to follow the Holy Spirit's guidance in these things and then invite students and families to participate in a voluntary way to be able to see God do great things for which only He can get the credit.
You know, I think you make an important point, Jason, because for a university, they're highly regulated and highly resourced. And as Tiffany pointed out before, this is an opportunity when kids have in their life when maybe they haven't started their career or their family yet, and they have some time and some freedom to be able to do that. And all of those are good, prudent points of advice, because we know that the world that we live in is dangerous wherever we go. And taking those precautions that are prudent, that are wise, are really important. But just like you said, praying about it and seeing where God is calling you to go, you just never know. And I know that was my experience with international missions. And of course, I'm going in a higher ed context, just like you were talking about, Jason, and I go with a mindset to teach. But what I didn't know, the twist on all of that, was that I came away learning more than I could have ever taught. I learned about character. I learned about culture. I learned about so many more things. And so how do you see that, Tiffany? How do you see these experiences? You've shared a little bit. Do you want to share any more about how these missions experience transform students' lives, their outlooks, their attitudes? How do you see that happening?
Yeah, absolutely. One, I was reminded as y'all were discussing just the leadership of even in my own life, I was able to lead a group of students, my peers in my undergrad, to Vietnam. So a place I'd never been to and a mission I'd never gone on before. And to just jump into that, I was a sponge for learning and had that just the pressure that we put on leaders. But little did I know, God was using that in such a big way in my life to be then what was the foundation of what this program would be. And so I use that as an example to show you that even in my own life of being a student leader, God changed, He helped change the trajectory of my life to go from, oh, I want to work in business and I want to go work in corporate, to, oh my goodness, the need and the urgency of sharing the gospel, to then eventually be the director of global outreach. So I see that time and time again in our students, that they're exposed to what Jason was talking about with medical missions. They think they want to be a nurse or physical therapist, and so they get to go and do these pop-up clinics and observe the doctors over there and our providers that we send. And they either like love it and realize, yes, this is exactly what I want to do. Or we had a student go and on a medical mission and realize she is really gifted in graphic design. And she ended up going back to that same ministry the next year and working as a graphic designer. So what we see is students being able to live their calling and then define it as well.
Well, you know, there are a lot of families who maybe don't have kids in college yet, or maybe their kids have graduated, or their kids are, you know, just doing different things for career choices or choosing a trade. But we all know someone who is in a college learning environment. And what is the way that our listeners can pray specifically for you, for your ministry, for your students on your campus, and just generally for college students? How can we specifically pray?
Yeah, I just ask that everyone that's listening would pray that God would raise up a generation of people that know what the Holy Spirit's voice sounds like and have the courage to follow Him to whatever end, that the Holy Spirit would be calling out those men and women who are called to serve Him in different vocational and lay capacities in the global church, such that the name of Christ can be lifted up in every place around the world. And I think that we have to ask that God would do that we have to implore Him to send those folks out. And there need to be people both in the local church and families, communities, in higher ed that are cheering them on and saying that this is a feasible outcome that God could affect in your life, and we believe it's possible, and could you catch the vision of what God might do in your life? And so join us in praying that he would raise up people that are experienced in missions, but also just that have a heart for the urgency of the great need of the world.
Tiffany, what do you say?
Yeah, I would say in the short, we have our week here for Missions Emphasis Week. And so just right now, being able to pray for those students who for the first time are going to feel called to go and make disciples. And so just praying that their hearts would be open, as well as just for mentors to be placed in their life to help guide them in what that calling looks like.
Well, you know, I think it's amazing all of the things that are going on. I have taken a student team myself to on medical missions to serve very, very underserved, impoverished places. But we also support missionaries who are working on college campuses and those who are working in remote villages to do Bible translations. There are so many ways to use your gifts to go and tell and go and serve. And so we just continue to pray that God will bless your ministry, Jason and Tiffany. Thank you for being with us. And I encourage my listeners to stop whatever you're doing right now and pray for college students all over the world. Pray that God would guide their hearts. And in the meantime, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. And I'll see you right here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.